This is Stimulus. I'm Tara Cleary. On April 9th, in the upmarket New York City neighborhood of Soho, the New York Police Department loaded Dean Cummings' home on a truck and drove it away.
Without warning, they just came. Poof, it was disappeared. I'm thinking somebody stole it.
That's Dean, whose real name is Damien, talking to a Fox News reporter at the scene. What the NYPD removed, though, was a modified dumpster on wheels. But for Dean, it was home.
I thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, this is almost like a house. This is better than cardboard boxes, which, you know, it's not going to get wet. It's not going to be destroyed in the rain. And, you know, it does a lot for you, for anybody that's on the streets.
Dean has been homeless for about 7 years. I used his interview with Fox because, frankly, no one knows where he is right now. Not even the guys who provided the container home for him.
My name is Phil Sullivan. I am a New York City photographer / model.
My name is Shane Duffy, and I am a general contractor. I started out as a model here in the city.
Shane and Phil met on a modeling assignment. Phil had a tough start in New York City.
5 years ago, I experienced homelessness for a brief stint.
Of course, the issue is important to them. So Shane and Phil
spent 4 days, 3 nights on the streets of New York City. No shelter, no phones, no money, no food. Essentially simulating homelessness in New York City. We let our family know, we let the internet know that, you know, we're off the grid. We'll be back in 4 days and let's see how much money we could raise in the time that we were absent, so that when we came back, we could have money to contribute to a cause. I think our main goal was to see if we could create the awareness using social media for homeless people. We did it at a time during New York Fashion Week, so it was a time that I would have been working a runway or something like that, so it was almost a little bit of a statement.
This was February in New York City, where the average low temperature is 27 degrees Fahrenheit, which is -3 Celsius. But it gets much colder than that.
You start out, and it's a little bit exciting because it's something new, you haven't tried it, and then you quickly realize that nobody really looks at you, nobody gives you any attention. And so what that slowly starts doing to you is really starts to break you down mentally, emotionally, and then you start getting broken down physically because of the weather.
And that's when they met Dean Cummings.
He helped us the 4 days we were on the street, and he gave us blankets, showed us where to sleep.
The pair raised a couple of $1,000 during their stint on the street.
We thought the power of social media with Instagram, Twitter, would kind of revolutionize the way to approach homelessness. And then we quickly realized that you can't just have one formula for each homeless person. Each individual has their specific needs. And so then we started our focus on helping one individual person at a time. And that's kind of where Dean's story comes to life. And so we came up with kind of an interesting, unique way to temporarily give him housing.
Dean told Shane about a man in California who creates housing out of containers for people living on the streets.
I was like, well, we're not in Los Angeles. There's not just empty lots or areas you can just hide a container. But it got my wheels turning, and I thought, well, what if we do something that's disguised, something that can blend in with the New York City landscape?
The result, a modified garbage dumpster, complete with solar panels on the roof.
We built it on a pitch so that if it rained, obviously it was waterproof, weatherproof. It was on 4 caster wheels so that he was able to move it around easily. Obviously the solar panels, he had LED lights inside, a fan, heating elements. It was insulated on the inside, carpeting, shelving, and a window for ventilation.
Shane and his business partner were out in Long Island, and they called me and they're like, Phil, we're coming to the city with the dumpster. Like, you gotta find Dean. And we presented it to him, and you know, we didn't think it would survive on the city for 10 months, which was unbelievable, right in the heart of Soho.
Yeah, it took the authorities 10 months to discover Dean's dumpster home. 10 months in which he lived a little more comfortably.
It changed his life, it changed his, you know, hygiene, it changed just his confidence, it changed how he opened up to us. You know, so it was like the start of a relationship.
Dean's story is just one of hundreds of thousands about homelessness in America.
There are two economies and two housing markets.
Giselle Ruthier is the policy director at New York's Coalition for the Homeless.
Particularly in New York, you know, there's a housing market where you have a vacancy rate and you have available units at the extremely high-end luxury scale. But then you have the housing market at the low end of the income scale, and people are struggling to find units that are affordable to them. And so it's two different worlds. And there are people at the lower end of the income scale who've seen their real incomes decline over the past several years and decades.
This is something that I'm going to speak about every chance I get, everywhere I go, income inequality.
That's New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio speaking in April 2015.
Because this is a crisis facing our nation and facing our city. It is a profound crisis. It's a crisis that is not being addressed. And it is a dangerous, dangerous situation.
And it's one of the main reasons that large urban areas have seen increased homelessness, even though national homeless figures dropped by around 15% in the past 10 years. The number of people sleeping on the street in New York City soared by nearly 40% in the past year.
If you look at the total amount of money that the federal government spends to help people either buy or rent their homes, 3/4 of that money goes to higher income households.
Sarah Michelson is the director of public policy at the National Low Income Housing Coalition. She believes one of the biggest culprits exacerbating housing insecurity is the mortgage interest deduction.
The mortgage interest deduction is a tax provision that lets homeowners deduct the share of the interest that they pay on their mortgage from what they have to pay in taxes.
But there's a catch. It's not equitable.
You see a disproportionate amount of the tax benefit going to the very, very top end of income earners. So that's about $11 billion a year going to subsidize the top 1% of Americans. So it's subsidizing mansions, huge homes of the wealthiest people who really don't need any assistance to live stably.
Sarah's organization has what they consider to be a solution. Besides making it easier for homeowners to claim that tax break, they want to
lower the size of a mortgage that's eligible for this tax break. Currently, it serves homes up to $1 million, and we want to see that brought down a little bit to the first $500,000 of a mortgage. That only impacts 6% of mortgages nationally.
Sounds reasonable. The very wealthy are going to own a house anyway, tax break or no tax break. And very importantly, Sarah says the plan will save $240 billion over 10 years. That can then go towards housing the homeless. But where does this current disparity leave homeless people like Dean Cummings?
Where is Dean now, and what is the status quo right now of the situation?
So we've got his birth certificate, which is a major breakthrough.
Birth certificate? I'm lost. Shane?
To rewind, as soon as this ended, we did end up raising a few thousand dollars. And so we're like, let's try to use some of this money to get documentation, to try to find a job.
Shane and Phil told me that Dean struggles to deal with authority figures. They said he's extremely suspicious, even paranoid. He's also originally from Trinidad and has no form of identification. So navigating the bureaucracy involved in getting ID documents, social security number, is very stressful for him. But without them, getting a job is practically impossible.
So that's where the twist came after the whole story broke.
Shaney's talking about all the press the dumpster home story received.
We noticed that he was speaking to somebody on his tablet, you know, via Skype. And I came to learn that it was actually his brother. He has an older brother who lives in London. His older brother saw the story in the Daily Mail of the UK, forwarded it to his family, and we've recently learned his aunt and his mother live in New York. And so that was kind of strange. And we got in contact with his aunt, and his aunt said that they haven't seen him in 8 years. I still can't wrap my head around it, to know that he has family and, you know, that they want to help, and I still don't know the full story.
This twist in the story made it vital that I talk to Dean, but I'd almost given up hope that I'd meet him. A few weeks later, Shane texted me. He'd found Dean. We met a couple of days later in a noisy retail store restaurant. I asked him why he disappeared and where he'd been.
Being on the streets is hard, so I have to do a lot of stuff. And I'm not going to be available all the time, so I was just in a zone, you know. You're just in a zone trying to cope. That's what you do when you're on the streets. You have to be in a, you don't have to be drunk. You don't have to be high. Some people like to be, but I don't do any of that stuff. I haven't done that for years, so I just find other ways to cope, you know.
He recalled how he felt when the NYPD took his container home.
This night and day in your thinking, because one day you have all place to store your stuff, a place to sleep, out of the shelter, and then the next day it's like right back to that, you know what I mean? And then just a snap of a finger just like that. That's pretty hard to deal with, I can tell you. But, you know, I had to suck it up and do what I had to do, you know, because life is life and stuff is going to happen. So I had to deal with it, and still trying to, you know, to cope, but it's getting better. So.
It was shocking to realize that Dean had been homeless for about 7 years, and yet he didn't know his mother lived in New York City. But talking to him, I sensed that his relationship with his mom is not a very good one. He didn't want to elaborate, but the fact that he has no intention of getting help from her was telling.
I don't want to put anybody out, or that's the reason I was on the streets in the first place. Because if you're not getting along with somebody and it seems like they don't want you to be around, that's me. I'll just move along, because why stay? There's just going to be problems. You know, I try not to put myself to mental stress, because I know how to reflect it easily.
I gave Dean two scenarios. One where he continues as he is, living on the streets, and the other, getting ID, a permanent home, and work.
Definitely, if both of them were right there, I would definitely choose a job, and because I can do that. You know, that's what you basically do when you're on the street anyway. You get up and you look for jobs and you move around and you go work, get money, and go back to what you, it's like a daily routine. It's not exactly the same, but I will definitely choose the, you know, the job and the stable place to stay.
The U.S. is the world's second richest country. Yet on any given night, 500,000 people like Dean sleep on the street.
I feel let down a lot. And not just me, I've seen people that deserve to be, like elderly people, number one, you know what I mean? I've seen a lot, and I have to shake my head every time. I've seen a lot of veterans. Everybody knows that they let veterans down, and they really don't care. They should not be on the street. Same with elderly people, but the system is just, it's not designed to really care. It's just designed to make money, and that's it.
As Dean said, being homeless doesn't mean you're not working or trying to get a job, except you live in absolute insecurity, without the basics that most people take for granted: shelter, warmth, food, a bed.
I didn't even know I was going to be homeless when I came. I'm like, I'm going to be on TV, I'm going to be a star and all that, you know? That's exactly what I thought. I never knew I was going to be on the sidewalk and all that. So it matters you a lot. But I'm just thinking about that. I was already prepared for it just in my younger years. And that's amazing how God prepares you for stuff, because that really cemented into me to not use drugs and to rob, steal, and do bad things. You know what I mean? And I've been vigilant and patient, so hopefully something will pay off.
Things are looking positive for Dean Cummings. Shane and Phil are confident he'll soon have the necessary ID to get a job. If you'd like to help at least one homeless New Yorker, go to iamsupported.org. That's iamsupported.org. In a country with the resources of the United States, no one should be homeless. And it's on track to get worse. Even before Trump's $6.2 billion budget cut takes effect, right now only around half the senior positions at the U.S. Department of Housing are filled. and only 5 out of 50 states have a regional administrator. All the other posts are vacant. Extreme capitalism is failing most Americans. It's time to find a fairer economic system. Until next time, I'm Tara Cleary, and this is Stimulus.